Hamilton goes ham in Orlando. Hartford holds at home against a hobbled Dead Whale side, and come hell or high loogie, we find a way to advance in the Open Cup. Plus a homecoming for one of our own and a very special guest with us here today. This is episode 51 of 6 Point Weekend, the official podcast for Oak City supporters, the supporters of supporters of North Carolina Football Club and the treble-winning North Carolina Courage. I am your erstwhile host, Dave, becoming less erstwhile by the week somehow. Joining me here is Ebony.
Hello.
And KP.
What's up?
And as I mentioned earlier, a special guest joining us. Please welcome, from NCFC, Austin Deleuze.
Woo-hoo. Greetings.
What's up, Austin?
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
That was an impressive intro, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
this kudos. Well,
this podcast is brought to you by the letter H, and it is also brought to you by...
Oh, me. That's my turn. We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. It's sour beer season, and they have some going on tap starting tomorrow. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're also part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and Golden Goal Press at goldengoalpress.com. And we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
And because Justin paid me still, he gave me a fiver. 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by Sour Beers, the perfect treat to beat the summer heat.
Thanks for the support, Justin. We totally don't agree with you, but thanks for your money. So let's get started. Let's get right into the NCFC news. First off, the big news from last week.
Austin played.
Yeah. Austin played. Absolutely.
That was the only big news of the week, right?
Yeah, of course.
Nothing else happened.
How is your foot, by the way?
It's okay. We're getting there.
Okay,
it's been frustrating. It's been longer than I wanted it to be. But hopefully not too much longer. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Nas came back.
That's right.
Oh,
Nas,
yeah.
Nazmi Al-Badawi, hashtag free Nas.
He's been freed.
He is free right here with NCFC. Got his first start on Saturday up in Hartford. So what was it like to have him back in the locker room?
It's like he never left.
Yeah.
It's great. It's awesome to have him back, obviously. Awesome dude and quite a player. So it's just all good things, all positive things to have him back in the locker room.
Absolutely, especially now with Tommy McCabe having been returned to Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was obviously disappointing to see Tommy go, but a good opportunity for him, and I hope he gets a chance up there and does well with it. But yeah, he was huge for us through the early part of the season. So
do you know
sad
if that's
to see
a
him go.
Do you know if that's a temporary move, or do you think he's going to come back?
I have no idea. That's above my pay grade.
There you go.
Yeah.
Florida soccer divers, for the most part. I mean, they were falling down a lot in that game. It was a pretty chippy game, wasn't it? From our perspective, at least.
Yeah, I think it's typical of an amateur team in the later rounds of the Open Cup. That's the kind of game you're going to get. We did what we had to do. It wasn't pretty. I don't think we played particularly well, but we're moving on. We get a shot at NYCFC next week.
So a couple of notes about that game. Just some things I noted in the first half. Robbie Christo had the first good opportunity of the game around the 8th minute. He had a header. Couldn't quite get that on frame. And then later on in the 35th minute, felt like the referee ignored pretty obvious handball in the box. In fact, I went back and watched the replay of the game, and we were incensed on the sidelines. I mean, you could see me, you could see Justin, you could see a few other folks basically jumping up, you know, onto the stanchions there and just shouting at the ref. And one of the microphones picked up someone shouting, "Are you blind?"
What is that like as a player on the bench?
Must have heard everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was cool. It was a cool atmosphere being on field two and being right up next to the fans. It was a unique experience. Don't think the referee had his best night. But again, like I said, that's kind of Open Cup is crazy. Never know what's going to happen. Fortunately, we got the goal we needed. And like I said, we're moving on. We're happy to be keeping our run going like in years past.
It's DJ Taylor, who got that goal. It was a pretty well-worked play. DJ Taylor, Stephen Miller, and Duval Wapowo had good triangle going, and it opened up a lane for Taylor to just run through and rise and fire. I mean, it was a pretty good goal.
Yeah, I don't like to give DJ too much credit, but no, it was great. It was great. He's been very dangerous in the attacking half all season, and it was good to see him finally hit the back of the net with one of those. Fun game.
Yeah.
Well, you got your triumphant return. You played
triumphant
a couple minutes.
Is a generous but yes.
You got to play a couple of minutes here towards the end. How did it feel to at least get some minutes back, even with this nagging injury?
Yeah, it felt good. It felt good to get back out there and sort of get the competitive juices flowing again. I felt like I had a good 15 minutes or so. The last couple were eventful.
Do we want to talk about that at all, or
if you want, I don't have too much to say about it.
We were breaking down, and I think you, like, we were going all the way from field two to the pod, and I think you beat us basically all that way. You just stormed off.
Yeah, I apologize.
No,
not at all.
Considering what happened, we should probably mention what actually happened. It was towards the end of the game. The second half, NCFC basically wore down the Florida. Just the soldiers just had nothing left at that point. I think it was about the 92nd minute. There was pretty rough slide tackle into Stephen Miller. It was very similar to the slide tackle on Manny Perez in the first half, I thought.
Yeah, that's the one that took Manny out for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And which brought Stephen Miller into the game. And that was given a yellow card. And then there was some sort of altercation. We didn't actually get to see it from the bench, and we didn't get to see it in the replay either. But apparently somebody spit at you?
Yeah. So the guy, you know, put the tackle on Steven, which I felt was particularly unnecessary. So I kind of ran over just to, you know, as you do in those situations. And one of their players ran over as well, and yeah, just immediately spit right in my face. So yeah,
of course the referee saw it, and immediately the red card came out.
Yeah, to his credit, he didn't hesitate, and he sent him off, and that was that. Disappointing end to the game.
Yeah. I noticed at the end of that game you were kind of just waving bye bitch at the guys. At the soccer soldiers. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Like, no. I know you didn't say that, but you were just did. Like,
don't
get
worry.
Out.
We said it for you, don't
worry. Yeah, I was extremely fired up at that point. It's just not something that I've ever had happen to me before in a game, and something
hopefully
I hope never
again.
Happens again.
I don't think any of us want that to happen
but
again.
It took a lot of willpower to restrain myself.
Well, thank you for doing so. Because
professional.
If you're ready to play up in New York, we'd like to have you.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see.
Well, let's talk a little about New York, because we're one of the last few USL teams left in the competition. Mm-hmm. We kind of got seated in a pretty bad spot, especially because we could have gone south to Atlanta or to Orlando. We could have even had some Texas teams, which is odd. But we travel all the way up to Yankee Stadium. Oh, I'm sorry, where are they playing? St. John's?
They're playing at St. John's.
St. John's.
So we're playing New York City FC. That's on Wednesday, July 12th, I believe, or June 12th, excuse me.
Yeah. That sounds right.
How are you feeling about that game, especially after we go to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, it's a tough stretch. No way around that, but just excited to have the opportunity to continue our run, like I said, and against a team like NYCFC is kind of what the Open Cup's all about, is testing yourself against, those MLS teams. And obviously disappointed that we're not going to get one at home. I think those games in the past have been really exciting, really fun, good showcase for the sport in our area. Maybe we can lobby U.S. soccer and try to get some institute some changes.
I thought we killed NASL to get all home U.S. Open Cup games.
I'm telling you.
I don't know. Right. That's got to happen, right? All lower seeds should host. That's kind of feels like a given.
Cup,
but. I feel like it should be, because it gives the lower seeds an opportunity to sell some tickets.
Right. Yes. Throw the game and all
boost
that.
Boost the bottom line, which is what every lower league team needs.
Yep. But it'll be fun. It'll be a good experience for some of our young guys that haven't maybe seen that level of competition yet.
To be fair, New York's NYCFC is not playing too well, so
they're still in playoff spot, but
yeah, it's been a decline.
Catch them on a bad night, maybe, and we'll see what happens. We know anything can happen in the tournament, so yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think we might be in good shape because they just came off a streak of 4 away games, and now they're going to play 5 home games with Cincinnati right before us.
Oh, so they're going to build their confidence with Cincinnati.
Yes, and then we'll bring them down.
And then they'll go, oh, B team, go play, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's the plan.
Fingers crossed.
There you go. So that's coming up next week.
Yep.
Before that, we've got Tampa Bay coming up to first place and so far undefeated.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay. They're kind of running away with the East right now. So how's the team trying to approach that?
I think we're approaching it, you know, like any other game, really. We proved, you know, a couple weeks ago on the road in New York that we can, you know, tangle with the best of them on the road. So, I think we're just looking forward to it. Tampa is an awesome place to play. It's a great, great stadium, great atmosphere. Always, our games against them always seem to be particularly competitive and not chippy, but I think there's just a good, healthy rivalry there. A lot of respect for that club and the squad that they've put together, but we're, you know, we've shown that we're going to be one of those teams at the top of the East battling for those, you know, top 4 playoff spots, top 4 or 5. So yeah, we want to go down there and win.
Yeah. A little bit of NASL rivalry kind of lingering there.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing.
Definitely.
So let's go back and talk about the Hartford game. So it was a 1-1 draw up in Hartford. Hartford got off to an awfully quick start in this game.
It was quite quick. Yeah, it just settled into
20 seconds
to watch.
Like
16 seconds.
16 seconds,
actually, yeah. So it was Jose Angulo basically fielded a long ball, got away from Alex Comcia on the back line, gathered the ball, found Harry Swartz on the cross, and they scored in 16 seconds, and those three guys on Twitter will never let us hear the end of that.
Oh, they're all
like, this is what happens when you have, when you're an expansion club, you have no history, so you will take anything you can get. I feel like 16 seconds is going to be their rallying cry now.
They just, I don't understand it.
I don't know. Like,
well, it's,
you haven't beaten us yet.
Yeah, never mind that they didn't even win the game.
Right.
You know, the fact that they just scored, the fact that they just scored that goal as quickly as they did. You know, it's going to be like, you know, when my wife gets on my case about how she beat me that one time at Rummy 500 in 3 hands. She'll never let me. It doesn't matter how many times I beat her after that. She will never let me hear the end of that one.
That's fair.
Nope.
Or like, you know, doesn't matter how many national championships Virginia basketball wins from here and then. They're still the team that lost to a 16 seed.
True.
So there is that. So, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So. Yamakani Chester getting his first goal.
Yes. First start.
His first league goal, I should say, because he did score against the Richmond Kickers. Mm-hmm. So his second goal for us, his first goal in USL, was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Pounced on the ball and just...
Yeah, Chaz has been great. He's been... I think he's finding his feet a little bit more the last couple games. He's been more active and a little bit more dynamic. And you can see all the tools, all the pieces are there. I think he's just settling in. You know, that's a big move for him, both him and Duvall. I think for young kids to make a move like that, it's going to take time to settle in.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. But they're both great guys and really good players. And happy for Chaz that he's found the back of the net.
Yeah, well, we're all happy for him too. You know, gives us more reason to sing that song we did for him.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Oh, well, I do have a – because you've been sort of like watching on the sidelines now. You've seen this team grow a little bit more each game, especially in this tough road stretch we have going on. How are you liking the development? You were talking about Chester's development and Duvernay's development and Duvall. How are you liking this progression, especially with players like Dre getting more starts and Manny getting more starts?
Yeah, it's been great. I've enjoyed watching. I haven't enjoyed being on the sidelines, but I've enjoyed watching the team and watching different guys get their opportunities. And to, you know, for the most part, everyone has stepped up and taken those opportunities really well. We've shown our depth and we've shown our ability to bring in new faces on a week-to-week basis and maintain the level, which is great. That's what you need. You know, as the season starts to wind down and legs get tired and injuries start to play a factor, you want to have the confidence in every single person on the roster that they can step in and do the job. And I think we've seen that over the last couple of weeks, and I think we're going to keep seeing it over the next couple as we, you know, still have quite a few games in a short amount of time.
It sounds like you're going to have a few games without Marios Lomas, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm not going to be the one to to break any news. I'll leave that to him or to the team. But obviously he was missing this past weekend, and I think he'll be missing a bit longer. That's disappointing, obviously, for him. He was on fire. I think he was really taking strides early in the season and becoming you know, our go-to guy up there. So bummed for him, but that's the game.
That is the game. A lot of injuries at the holding midfield positions, and then, of course, with Tommy McCabe heading back to Cincinnati. So that's feels like a pretty big loss. Who do you see potentially filling in there?
I think we have quite a few guys that can kind of slide into that role. We saw Victor playing in there on Saturday. Graham can slide into that role. Duvall can slide into that role. I would say I'm comfortable there as well. So I think there's a lot of ways the coaches can shuffle it, a lot of different things that they can do. But like I said, we're confident in our depth, confident in everyone's ability to step in and do their job.
I hear you talking a lot about being confident, which is always amazing to hear. Would you say that the combination of newer players, new coach, younger players, would you say that hunger is like at an all-time high at the moment because everyone's kind of getting a chance and everyone's wanting to push for more? Would you say that hunger's like really been let out recently?
I think so, yeah. I think it's up there for sure. And I think you can see that in the results. You know, even in the games where we maybe don't play as well, in, you know, I think, you know, games like that Open Cup game where we really did not play very well. You know, I've seen that game go the other way a lot. You know, you see the amateur team make the upset like they did in the earlier rounds, or, you know, a game like against Hartford on Saturday, you give up a goal 16 seconds in and it kind of looks like, oh, this one's not going to be our night. Did we play great? No, but we managed to pull out a point on the road and we're moving on. You know, that's another one that I've seen go the other way a million times. So I think our ability to adapt even when we're not playing well and still find a way to get results, along with some of the really good performances we had, you know, against, you know, New York on the road, against Louisville at home, it's just a good balance. We're not getting too high. We're not getting too low. And everybody's just kind of trusting the coaching staff and taking on their direction. So, yeah, everyone's confident and very hungry to continue that progress.
Awesome.
Excellent. So upcoming games, of course, Saturday at Tampa Bay. That will be on ESPN Plus for those who want to watch. And so will the Open Cup game against New York City FC. That will be on June 12th, which is a Wednesday. And then following that is Saturday, June 15th, the doubleheader. NCFC will be taking on Swope Park Rangers in that first game. And I believe that is also
Pride.
That's Pride.
That's Pride Night.
Pride Night.
It's June.
It is June.
It's playing for Pride. Back.
It's back. We're rolling.
So as of right now, you have 110 players signed up.
Wow. Correct.
Just over the last couple of years, it's kind of grown. How are you feeling about that growth? And how do you see it growing not only throughout this month, but hopefully in the future?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been stressful, but amazing. It's been a lot of fun to see it grow sort of organically in the way that it has, and to watch people sort of take ownership of it. And it's hard to put into words. Kind of, it's just this, you know, weird idea that I had a few years ago, and now it's this thing that people really seem to enjoy, you know, all over the country, and even some players coming in from, you know, other parts of the world. So it's been special. It's been special to see it grow, and we're just really appreciative of all the support that people have given it, and, you know, really appreciative of all the support you guys have given it. Oak City Supporters has been incredible. The scarves you guys made were amazing, and they flew off the shelves.
Well, they were some pretty good scarves.
They are.
I think there's like two left.
Two left. You hear that, listeners? If you don't have one yet, get on it.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of leagues represented. MLS, NWSL, obviously USL, League One, NPSL, League Two, UPSL, and International. How have, like, is it just word of mouth that you're just reaching several parts of this country and world, or is it just...
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I've never really done sort of any direct outreach. I don't go to people and say, hey, do you want to participate in this thing? The only thing I do at the beginning of each year is send messages out to people who have participated in the past and say, hey, we're doing it again. If you want to participate again, just let me know. But that's kind of it as far as outreach goes. And once we kick it off, yeah, I just kind of let it do its thing and let people spread the word and just watch the names roll in. It's been awesome to see, again, so many different players from so many different leagues come to it on their own without anybody, you know, sort of badgering them into it or prompting them. You know, I don't want people to feel obligated to do it. I want people to feel invested in it and to feel strongly about it. And that's what it's been. It's been people that are sort of champions for the cause, and it's been great.
You've kind of partnered more with Athlete Ally this year to do Playing for Pride. How did that come about, and how do you see that role growing as you get more quote-unquote sponsors, I guess?
Yeah, so that happened after the first year that I did it and all the money had gone to HRC. But I had had some interactions with Athlete Ally on Twitter. And so after that first year, they messaged me and said, hey, we'd love to partner on this next year. Let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. And it was a perfect fit. This is kind of what they do. So they've been hugely helpful and supportive. Yeah, I don't think it would have gotten as big as it has without their help and amplification.
So Pride Week is coming up for NCFC and NC Courage. There's the event at Highwire, and then there's the event at Raleigh Beer Garden, and then it's the doubleheader. So I guess tell us a little bit about the two events. I know Highwire is more family-friendly than the Raleigh Beer Garden one is what I've been told. And then the doubleheader where NCFC will play first and then Courage will play second. So how... are you looking forward to it? What are your expectations from both of those nights? And then what are your expectations for the doubleheader?
Yeah, I'm pumped. Highwire is going to be Tuesday night. That's going to kind of kick off Pride Week for us. You're going to see quite a few players there from, I assume, both teams. I know for sure that the men's side will have at least four or five guys there. Can't speak for the Courage, but I would imagine there will be quite a few of them there as well. And Highwire is just a cool place. It's an awesome space for people who haven't been there. It's out in Durham. Come check it out if you are able. And then Thursday night, we will be at Raleigh Beer Garden on Glenwood South in Raleigh. Another really cool spot. We'll be doing quote-unquote celebrity bartending, which I have failed miserably at in the past.
Oh, you did pretty fine here. when it used to be here at London Bridge, you were fine. Did great.
It's tough, man. Bartending is a tough gig.
Yeah.
I got a lot of respect for those guys. But that'll be fun as well. See quite a few players there. Actually, thinking about it now, Tuesday night, the team will be traveling, so I'm not sure how many people we'll have there. I will be there, hopefully. But yeah, Thursday night should be good. Get quite a few guys there bartending. And then Saturday night, yeah, doubleheader. Doubleheader would be cool just on its own, but to add in the Pride Night factor and all that, it's going to be great. I'm pumped to open for the Courage.
Well, we're pumped to go to that doubleheader.
I mean, yeah.
It's going to be a great night.
I'll be watching, but I won't suck. Like, I hate that, like, my flight is right before it.
We feel so bad for you that you have to fly to France.
Oh,
poor Ebony.
I really wanted to go to the doubleheader.
Poor Ebony.
I really wanted to see the doubleheader.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm glad we get a chance to watch them as well. I got to catch the end of their game after our game, and to see Ham score the hat trick was pretty cool. Big fan of hers. Yeah, it's good to see him get back on track and do what we know they're capable of.
So that doubleheader is coming up on Saturday, June 15th. NCFC versus Swope Park Rangers kicks off at 5. And then following that will be the Courage versus the Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to be an interesting one.
Ruh-roh.
especially with all the players at the World Cup playing with each other.
They did okay against Chicago, but ugh.
Yeah. So those are going to be two really good games. Those are coming up on June 15th. We're going to have the tailgate as usual at it's going to start at 3.
I assume.
This time.
Okay. I assume so.
All right. So, Austin, you want to stick around and talk about the Courage with us here?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk about the Courage running all over Orlando yet again.
Good friends of Tasty Beverage Company, Fonta Flor Brewing, is hosting the State of Origin Brewfest this Saturday, June 8th, from 5 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $65, and all the brewers invited will be including a North Carolina ingredient in their beer. If you have any questions, please hit up fontaflor.com/State of Origin Brewfest.
Time to look in on the U23s. Here's Zach with another Cardinal Collective Minute.
Welcome to Cardinal Collective Minute. I'm here with Zach, and here's this week's NCFC news. The Cardinals extend their run to 3 wins after defeating NC Fusion 2-0. The team struggled with the finishing touches in the first half, but tactics changed and a few subs in the second half cleaned that up. The team then traveled to Lionsbridge FC and suffered a deliberating 0-3 loss. The Cardinals have to regroup fast as they play Tri-City Otters Tuesday and then home Friday for their final match against Lionsbridge this season. For the latest NCFC U23 information, follow along on Twitter at CardinalRAL.
Thank you, Zach. Welcome back to 6-Point Weekend. Time to start talking about the Courage. And after going 4 games without a win and without many of their World Cup stars available, it's good to go to Orlando, isn't it?
That's a nice confidence boost.
Very nice confidence boost. A 3-0 win against the Orlando Pride. Last place in the league, Orlando still is. Several lineup changes for the Courage in this one. Abby Ersig is now with the New Zealand national team, so we now have Kaylee Kurtz and Kerry Roccaro starting at center back. Merritt Mathias moved up from right back into the midfield, which I thought was a very interesting move. And then you had Ryan Williams at right back. She played a bit more defensively than Mathias usually does, but Mathias working with McCall Zerboni and Denise O'Sullivan in central midfield pretty much dominated the midfield in that game.
But again, it was Orlando.
It was Orlando.
Yes.
Yes. But you expect them, the three of them, to do very well in midfield, and that's exactly what they did. Also, Sam Leshnack. We mentioned this last week, whether it was time for Sam Leshnack to get her first start, and she did get her first start.
Yes.
How do you think she did?
She did good. It was a little hard to watch the second half because Yahoo Sports is still the worst about doing replays. But she was very good in that first half. She didn't really see much in terms of action against her.
Because it was Orlando.
And we definitely dominated that first half a lot. We definitely got a lot more shots off. McCall had 2 good looks on goal. Ryan Williams, like you said, put in a lot of good crosses into the box. We played like we were a treble winning team. I don't know how else to say that, but
and the big story of the game, of course, Kristen Hamilton getting her first career hat trick.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
59th minute, she pounced on a goalkeeper error by Haley Kottmeyer. and just put it right in the back of the net.
Normally you see those types of errors from Harris, but not from Kottmeyer.
Not from Kottmeyer, no. But we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. And then 66 minute, I thought that was her most impressive goal. Because
that goal was sick.
Yes, yes, it was sick. Yes, it was. Yeah. She takes the pass from Pruitt. Pruitt on the left wing gets it to Hamilton. Hamilton splits two defenders.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a slick move.
Yeah. It was dirty. I was watching it live, and I think I literally, like, out loud was like, oh, shit.
As everyone should have been. As Haley Kottmeyer was when that ball zoomed past her and painted the top corner. That was a great goal by Hamilton. And then the 85th minute, Hinkle volleys or Hinkle crosses one into the box.
See, I really like the volley. Like,
the volley was a great goal as well.
Yeah,
I had this argument with someone today because we were talking. I was like, the second goal should be goal of the week for NWSL for sure. And they were like, no, the third goal should be. And I was like, but let's just do both. Just do all of them.
She's going to split the vote now, isn't she?
No.
It's like when Alex Tambakis splits the vote when he gets like three amazing saves in one game.
Yeah.
I think a Portland player got goal of the week this week.
Gee, I wonder how that happens.
God, you open a new stadium and all of a sudden...
Those Russian bots.
Yeah. God.
Damn those Reds. Oof. So, but anyway, another big story in this one. 75th minute, McCall Zerboni had to come out of the game. We haven't really heard anything about the status of her injury, but it looked like she re-injured her elbow, and she had the look of a player who felt like that could have been a long-term injury.
Oh, no.
Or, like, she knew what the end... Like, she was like, she's already thinking this is an injury, or this could be a worst-case scenario. And for all we know, it might not be, but the look on her face was definitely like she could tell what happened.
Yeah, and it was not a good look. We certainly hope for the best for McCall. Hope to see her back on the pitch soon. Courage back up to fourth place.
Yep.
So back in a playoff spot. Only 6 points right now separating first place Washington and seventh place Tacoma.
First of all, Washington is doing phenomenal right now.
They're what definitely on earth? Doing great.
What on earth?
God.
I think the change in coach has definitely helped, and I also think Ashley Hatch is having a really good season.
She is.
As former Courage player, Ashley Hatch.
Audrey Bledsoe is having a phenomenal season
as
well.
Yes, she is.
Go Deeks, go Deeks. She's a Demon Deacon.
Hey.
Yeah, I know.
No, she's been amazing. She's been incredible this season.
So, Washington's up there. Is Chicago up there as well, or is... Portland. I know Portland is third at this point after they tunk Chicago.
Yeah, Portland's third. We're fourth. I think Chicago is second.
Okay. So most of the teams that we expected to be up there. No, Utah is second.
Oh, there we go. Utah.
So Utah is second, and then Chicago is right beneath us.
You forget about Utah sometimes.
We try to sometimes.
I try.
After what happened last year.
Washington, Portland, Utah, us.
Oh, Portland went up. Okay.
Chicago is right below us.
And Houston is in sixth, Tacoma in seventh, and then...
Sky Blue in Orlando.
Sky Blue in Orlando, in the rear with the gear, as it were. Oh, by the way, interesting NWSL stat. Crystal Dunn is still tied for second in goals scored.
I wonder why.
In the league. It's because
she's a forward who scores goals. I don't know how to... I
think she's a left back.
Oh, no. Oof. Austin.
Austin. Oof. What are you doing, Austin? Come on now. You're killing us.
I knew that would get you guys going.
Let's just move on.
Her and Tobin Heath.
Both
left backs.
Both left backs. Yeah, exactly.
Both left backs. There you go. That's a fair assessment.
So let's move on to our Ask 6PW segment.
Yeah.
Brought to you by our good friends at London Bridge Pub, where we are recording this show and enjoying some tasty beverages of our own. Let's start with Scott on Twitter asking, Austin.
Yo.
What's the coolest recent addition to your pop collection?
Man, it's been a while since I picked one up. I had to stop. I was spending like way too much money. That's so fair. I had to like hit the brakes on that. I was looking at him today, though, when I saw that he tweeted this and trying to figure out which one's my favorite. I think I have a top three. I think number one is the Night King. I have a Night King pop.
Ooh,
he's awesome. That's a good one. He's very cool.
Is it the one on the dragon?
He's not on the dragon.
Okay.
Those ones are expensive, man.
Yeah.
As soon as you start getting like other like props in there, they get expensive.
Yeah.
But he's number one.
Do you open yours?
Yeah, I do open them. Yeah.
My man.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fun.
I feel like if you're the guy who collects like hundreds of them, it makes sense to keep them in boxes for storage. But
the actually, the only one I've kept in the box is the one that Scott got me of myself.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So that one's going to remain in the box, I think.
That one you want to preserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's going to be preserved. Yeah, number one, Night King. Number two, Dobby.
Ooh.
Dobby the House Elf. He's really cool looking. He's got a little sock in his hand, so it's kind of sad, but R.I.P. Dobby.
R.I.P. Chris F.
Number three, what was that? Number three was, I think, Buster Bluth.
Ooh.
From Arrested Development. He's really funny. He's got the hook hand, and he's holding a juice box. And I actually saw Tony Hale at Trader Joe's the other day on Wake Forest Road. So
Wow.
Wow,
he's in town. Impressive. Keep an eye out, people.
Ooh.
All right, next question from Scott. If you could handpick an Open Cup opponent, what team and why?
Man, that's a tough one.
Oh, it's not that tough. Come on.
I mean, Open Cup games against Charlotte are always fun.
There we go.
that's the answer we were looking
mostly
for.
I was looking for Charlotte or LA Galaxy.
Yeah, that's a good answer for sure. Yeah.
All right. Another question from Scott. Single favorite episode of The Office?
Man, I was thinking about this one, too. That's, like, impossible. I was watching Scott's Tots one last night. That one's, like, kills me. I don't know. I don't remember, like, I don't rate them in terms of specific episodes as much as, like, just little moments that I find funny as, you know, much. So, like, I don't know. Like, any moment with, like, Kelly interacting with Ryan is like just absolutely kills me. It's like one of my favorite things. So yeah, I don't know. If I had to pick like one single episode, I really like the end of the season with Beach Games followed by The Job, where they're all interviewing for the job at corporate and Ryan ends up getting it. Those are two really good episodes.
Spoilers.
Sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen it by now.
Hasn't that show been on for like 14 years and done with?
It never ends.
Okay,
it's done.
It's on Netflix now. It definitely never ends there. And last question from Scott. Coolest moment that has come about as a result of starting Playing for Pride?
Well, this is a good question. Easy answer, I think, is Colin coming out last year on Minnesota United's Pride Night, Colin Martin, and saying that Playing for Pride was a big reason that he decided to do that. That was like really amazing. It was like immediate tears for me. It was like, it's kind of what it was all about for me. It was trying to, you know, create an environment where people feel comfortable doing that, and watching him do it with, you know, such courage and bravery was, really, really cool. Really special.
Nice. I've got a general question on the SNST Slack from Alex Peterson. With Nas, Spies, and Dre, we have a solid three set piece takers. What circumstances do you want each of them taking free kicks, or do you just prefer one over the rest? I guess this could be anyone.
I don't know about you guys. I don't have, you know, favorites. I don't think they're all very capable. Ben and Dre have both shown that they're very capable of serving in set pieces, corner kicks, stuff like that. And I think they're all capable of scoring goals from in and around the box. I don't know. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches. I'm not gonna pick a favorite.
Yeah.
I think
rotation.
I think Ben's been the best at it so far this season, from what I've
Dre
seen.
Dre has been ripping him in from the corner, though.
Yeah.
He's been getting them in there nice, like right on top of Christo's or Lomas's head. So
yeah.
Yeah, I love the alley-oop to Christo.
Oh, yeah.
So satisfying.
Lots of options there. Isidro Garcia asking, when will you be fit to play?
That's a good question. If I had an answer, I would tell you, but I don't know. Just taking it one day at a time at this point.
Yeah.
I suppose that leads to the next question from Jonathan. I'm heading to my hometown of Tampa to watch the game on Saturday and spend time with family, I guess. Will Austin Deluz be in the lineup?
I think that would be optimistic. I'm not gonna spoil it. Not gonna. You know, Neil Collins might be listening to this, man. Who knows?
Yeah. Don't give anything away.
Don't let him. No, I don't. Means too early.
It's the Bill Belichick technique. Yeah. Don't give the injury reports away.
No, Saturday might be a bit hopeful.
Okay.
Another question from Jonathan. What are Austin Deluz's thoughts on the final season of Game of Thrones?
Ooh.
This is where I tap out.
Man.
I need to hear it.
I'm not like a big hot take guy. Like, I'm not going to like blast anyone. I didn't think it was very good. It's not like, I don't think that's a hot take to say.
No.
I think there were some really cool moments, some incredible scenes, even incredible episodes. I think the second episode, I believe it was, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, was fantastic. Probably one of the best episodes of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately just disappointing, man. I just wish we had more time. I wish, you know, we had, instead of 6 and 7 being, you know, shorter, I wish we had probably 3 or 4 more episodes to each season, and then we probably would all be happy with where it ended up. But
I feel like that would have been perfect for the final season to be 10 episodes. Like, if they had
flesh
just
it out.
And but the thing that I read was that Weiss and Benioff basically said, nah, we'll do it in 6. Like, HBO offered them 10, and they decided to do it in 6. It's like they were so eager to
Star Wars.
Yeah, they were so eager to get to Star Wars that they just were done with Game of Thrones, and they were just trying to hit the set pieces and get out.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure I have a huge problem with where we ended up. I just kind of I have more problems with how we got there and just the shortcuts that were taken that ultimately make the, you know, final destination a little bit unsatisfying. It is what it is. It was an awesome show. I'll cherish it forever.
What do you think Drogon was thinking when he burned the chair?
I don't know, man.
Are we still calling spoilers if people haven't seen it?
I was just thinking, on the one hand, he was...
What are you doing if you haven't seen it? What are you doing?
Exactly.
I have a coworker who waited a year, like literally a week till the last season started, to start watching the whole show. I'm like, dude, you had a year and a half to watch this. You could have finished the rest of the show before this. And he's like, nah. Oh, wait, don't tell me any spoilers. I'm like, literally, you're the only person in the office. I'm sorry, but no.
How do you?
I
don't even know.
I'm looking forward to all the spinoffs, though. It'll be fun to continue to explore the universe.
Yeah, there's probably going to be at least half a dozen spinoffs.
I hope so.
AT&T is going to milk that cow for everything it's worth.
I hope we get the damn books, George.
Yeah, George. Come on, George. Get with it, George.
Just kidding, man. Take your time, George.
Yeah, please don't rush it.
All right, and one last question on Twitter from Jonathan. Are the Orlando Pride even trying?
Yes, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, they're definitely trying. I mean, they're not Matthews.
No.
So
mega
they're,
oof.
They're
shots.
On goal?
Never
no,
on goal.
No.
I don't know the answer to that question. I've seen a lot of like trusted process type stuff when it comes to them. I'm like, man, I know
Orlando.
I don't know about this process.
That process has been like 3
Orlando
years.
Pride's head coach is saying that he believes that the team is moving in the right direction. I believe that the team will probably be moving to Atlanta before too long, the way I've heard about what's going on in Orlando. But
the scenes.
Yeah, so.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I would want to go to Orlando and or Atlanta when that team moves just to see the meltdown. It'd be
absolutely
fantastic.
But wasn't there some talk about the owner selling? Well, I mean, there's already been talk of the owner selling Orlando City.
Yes.
Just in general. But so there was talk that the Pride was going to go first.
So and when he turns 50, he wants to do like a sabbatical life change something. So that's 2020. And he wants to sell off his teams to do this excursion life finding thing.
And this is Flavio, the
Brazilian?
Interesting.
Yeah. Must well, be after nice. Him wow. and his wife split, they kind of just like went to hell. And it's just been crazy ever since. So who knows what's going to happen in Orlando.
Good luck.
Yeah, good.
They're already playing like a USL team, so you might as well just ship them back down and ship them off somewhere else at this point.
Yeah, they'd be lucky to be a USL team at best.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have Nani now, so that's selling. I guess that's selling tickets. Not really, though. I think the wall is like halfway full at this point.
Don't get me started.
What do you mean? He played for my club.
He played for your club.
He looks horrible in purple, but whatever. So. We have two more questions from Sterling on Facebook. What current USL player that was not previously affiliated with NCFC/Railhawks would you add to the team today and why?
Wow, that's a good question.
Not previously affiliated. I guess that rules out Steinbanger.
Yeah, I was going to say Steinbanger.
Yeah, I would love him back. But when he threw that line in, I was like, oh, man.
R.I.P.
Man, that's tough.
What forward is leading the league in goals right now? You probably
Rios?
Use
question.
Daniel Rios doesn't fit in that question.
We can go West Coast.
Yeah, I'll go. I would say so. I'm gonna go with one of my former teammates from Orlando City, Aiden Quinn, who plays for Orange County.
Yeah,
he's a baller. I would love to play with him again. So yeah, that'll be my answer.
And one more from Simon. What would you say is worse? Charlotte Independence of Matthews breaking the bank for Enzo and sitting on one win, or Orlando Pride becoming the Fire Festival of Football with zero? Simon wow. came in hot.
Dang, Simon.
Simon does not hold back.
I hold no ill will toward Orlando Pride. So,
but you didn't say that about Matthews, though.
I hold a lot of ill will towards them.
That's fair.
So, yeah, that's worse.
That's fair. They are the rival. So, as we mentioned earlier, the next home games, big doubleheader, the Pride Night doubleheader, NCFC playing Swope Park Rangers.
Austin, I do have a question for you because we were talking beforehand. You have a new project going on right now.
Besides
playing for Pride.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah.
So, just a little project. It's going to be a 4-episode podcast series, in partnership with the USL show. And Evan Villela, who's one of the hosts of the USL show, is going to be the host of this series. It's going to be called Out in the Crowd. It's going to be a series of conversations with LGBTQ soccer supporters about their journeys, both on and off the field. So kind of what their journey in life has been like, along with what the soccer community means to them. So hopefully that turns out cool. The first episode's out already. The first one was me interviewing Evan. I did a bad job at interviewing, but that's okay.
No, I heard it. It was pretty good. Pretty decent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then the next three will be interviews with soccer supporters from all over. Yeah. One of which is very familiar to us.
No.
Uh oh.
What, Ebony? Is there something you want to share with the class?
Thanks, Austin.
So you can edit that out if you want.
There's no editing of this podcast. What do you mean?
We're way too lazy to do that.
Do you have any other projects you got going on since you're a man of many hats?
Please plug away.
I think that's it. I can't think of anything else. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay. So as mentioned earlier, doubleheader, June 15th, NCFC versus Swope Park Rangers, Courage versus Portland Thorns. That's going to be a tough one, isn't it?
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching with a Portland fan. Oh, man.
Oh man.
From the plane?
I'll be landed by then. We'll be in Paris by then, so we're gonna be.
Look at me.
We're gonna find somewhere to watch. Although Yahoo Sports, I hope I can find some way to watch it with Yahoo. It's gonna be hard. I could probably watch ESPN Plus easily.
Yahoo never makes it easy, do they?
Never.
Just never makes it easy.
I could have used Ask Jeeves better. Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
There's. Yeah,
shots at Jeeves.
There's a flashback right there. fire up that copy of Netscape Navigator, huh?
Let's go. So
let's go. Let's keep digging.
A little Alta Vista.
Man.
Wow. All right.
There's a name I haven't heard in ages.
Yeah.
No.
Very nice. I think we'll just end it right there on that note. Ebony, who brought us here today to talk about Netscape and Alta Vista?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh, where they'll be tapping a bunch of new sour beers coming up starting on Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember anymore. It's a long podcast. And we're still part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Six Point Weekend. Although they're getting rid of iTunes, if you didn't hear.
They are getting rid of iTunes.
Yeah.
I'm not pressing F for iTunes.
Yeah, no. I've been on Spotify Live too long.
Yeah. You can't leave reviews on Spotify, but still listen to us if you like us, I guess.
Hit the follow button on Spotify.
Yes. Hit the follow button on whatever podcast app you're using.
Austin, where can people find you playing for Pride, Athlete Ally, etc.?
You can find me at Austin DeLuze on Twitter, Instagram. You can find Playing for Pride at Playing for Pride on Twitter and Instagram, athleteally.org. I will plug one more thing.
Sure, go for it.
My brother, my older brother, started a podcast.
What?
He did. Whoa. Yes. It's called The Environmental Breakdown. It's wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow him on Instagram. It's cool. It's funny. It's a little bit scary.
Oh.
It's about climate change. He works in sustainability. So, but yeah, check it out.
Interested. Does he swear as much about it as Bill Nye the Science Guy did?
He drops a few F-bombs. Yeah.
Thank fuck.
Yeah. Yes. It's his favorite word.
And ours our favorite too. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yeah. All right. I think that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Austin,
all right.
Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Austin.
Dope.
We appreciate
thank
you
guys.
Having here.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you for all of your support. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we will be back next week.
A special one next week. Because it is the Pride night at High Wire, we're going to be recording at High Wire.
Oh, snap. Woo-hoo. Yes, we are. Come out and join us.
We're going to be grabbing a couple players, and we're going to have a good time.
Sup.
Yeah. Sup. So you may hear this wonderful voice again.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, people are going to be sick of me by the end of this month, I think. So.
Nah.
No.
No way.
We love you, Austin.
KP?
I'm out.
Dave?
I'm out.
Austin?
Bye.
Later, guys.
Peace.